I got a couple of cards that was handed to me. Sorry it wasn't handed to you, Wyatt, before. Randy Baker's mother, Beverly Baker, passed away, and arrangements are not finalized at this time, so we need to keep Randy and that family in our prayers, Randy and Kelly. Also, Maddie Hart had her tonsils taken out Thursday. Her surgery went well, and she's back home doing okay. And on a good note, Glenn and Monica over here were baptized last Sunday. If you didn't get a chance to be here for that, make sure you congratulate them on that. So it's nice to see new brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I had one card from Melissa Edwards. She asked for prayers against spiritual waywardness attacking her. So we always pray for that. I don't know who has the closing prayer today, but remember her in your closing prayer, please. I think it's Charles. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open up to Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. And these stories, I'm going to shorten them up, very short today. But I would like to encourage you to go back, if you get an opportunity, and read these stories of these people that we mention here today, and see for yourself just what kind of a godly person they was, if you fit into that category. And a lot of these, I look at myself and I fit into a lot of their categories in the way I am. And then some other ones, I want to fit into their category in the way that they are. So we'll start off with Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among his people of his time. He lived in a time of a corrupt world when things were bad. He was told by God to build an ark. He started on it, and 120 years later, the earth was flooded. So that means that there's no more people. Everything's gone. Noah followed God's instructions, and his wife, his three sons, and their wives, and the animals of the earth that were saved by trust and obedience by Noah. Now, I'll let you know, I'll just put this in a way that's simplified to us to understand. Noah was a farmer. And I want you to look, if you want to, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, it says that Noah was a man of the soil. So that would put him into a category of being a farmer. The second one on our list is Peter. Peter was one of the first disciples. And at times, Peter seems to be on top of the world, having everything, and everything goes great for him. He's got everything where he wants it at. And then he would do something or say something wrong to bring himself back down to Russell's level, is how I'll put it to you. So sometimes I fall short and I drop down. So, and I'm sure everybody can probably put yourself into that position. So he brings himself back down to that level of, man, should have kept my mouth shut about that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. So the thing that Peter shows us is that even though he has highs and he has lows, being a Christian, the most important is how to get back up when you fall down. And the way that you do that is with the help of Jesus. You have to have help. So throughout this life of Peter, everything that you can read, starting in the New Testament of him, you see all these things like love, honor, faith, trusting, obeying the Lord, and all of that produces preaching and teaching the gospel. If you turn over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, and I should have already been there, you can tell that I am not the regular preacher if you're not from around here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, he says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart. And they said to Peter and the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' This is Peter replying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That equals saved souls. You see how that deal works right there? So, Peter, we understand how he became more and more of a Christian, and he got better and better and better, but he started off, he was a fisherman. And you can find that in Matthew 4, verse 18, "For they were fishermen when Jesus came to him." It's amazing what these men are. There's a farmer, and then we got a fisherman. So, it equals saved souls. Moses is our next guy that we're going to talk about. And that's going to be in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses' life was spared as a child. He was supposed to have been killed as a young man, as an infant. He was raised under the Pharaoh's roof. He grew up to be a young man, and he saw an Egyptian man beating one of his fellow Hebrews. So he kills the man. And you can understand that he looks around to see if anybody's watching before he kills him. So he knew that it was wrong to do it, but he murdered this guy. Well, then he realizes, "I got to leave. I got to do something because I'm going to lose my life." So he leaves and he goes to Midian. He flees from Egypt and he wound up in Midian, where he got married. He had kids. God speaks to him one day through a burning bush, saying, "I've heard the cries of the Israelites. Go and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go." Notice that he didn't say, "Will you go for me? I want you to go for me. Please go do this for me." He says, "Go tell the Pharaoh to let my people go." I want you to imagine in your minds the doubt and the fear that Moses must have had at this time. To know that he's done this thing that's wrong, that they're wanting to murder him, but I'm supposed to go back there and I'm supposed to tell them this. So if you look in 4, in verse 1, you can see how Moses is a little bit. He is scared. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. God has miraculous powers that we can't fathom as human beings. We have to understand that we all have what ifs. We have that fear. What if someone don't like me? What if someone don't understand what I'm saying? What if this or what if that? This is what you have to understand from that. God showed us that right there in those three verses. The what ifs in the world are overshadowed and overcome with God's help. So we have our showing of the fear of Moses that he had to go back. It was overshadowed and overcome with God's help. You got honor, trust, obedience, perseverance, and all of this shadows the what ifs of the world. So that can help us to be able to make a difference. I classify Moses as a rancher. That would be simple for us to understand. Exodus 3:1, he was tending the flock. So if he was tending the flock, it's sheep, and he was tending the flock, so that would put him into that kind of a rancher category. John is our next guest. He's our next guy that we're going to talk about, and that's going to be in 1 John. So that's way back here toward the back of the scripture. So John is one of these guys that was another one. He was actually with Peter and them. They was fishermen also. He was kind of in the same category with Peter there. But John was one of the first disciples also. He was a close companion of Jesus, is how you can put him. He was actually the only apostle who didn't die a martyr's death. He was a strong believer. A strong believer, but most importantly, he was a stronger follower in Jesus Christ than he was just a believer. And that's what he shows us the most in the way John lived his life. So John not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk also. So he teaches us understanding, love, honor, respect, obedience, trust. He shows us that you put God first in your life and good things come from that. So in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 15, we see what he tells us here. He says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." John, a fisherman. They was out preparing their nets in Mark 1, 19. You can also find it in Matthew. You can find it in the books, in the gospel books. You just have to look and read. So John tells us to love the Lord, not the world. Our next one is Esther. And Esther was a Hebrew woman that ended up marrying a king of the Persian Empire, and his name was King Xerxes. You can kind of look into this book, and it's really, really interesting, the book of Esther, because God's actually not mentioned in it, but you can see how he's at work all through the book of Esther in her life, and then we see how we can live our lives and be involved in it. So if you have a Bible, also open up to Esther chapter 7 and verse 3. Esther was a Hebrew woman who becomes king to the King Xerxes of the Persian Empire. And she makes the most of her position by being queen, managing to honor her husband while also protecting her brothers and sisters that are Hebrews. So also getting to do that, but honoring her husband as well, because they're different. So it was something that she shows us of courage, and she teaches us also, we learn throughout this about bigotry and hatred, that even though God's not mentioned in this, you can see you can witness him in the background of this whole book. And you can see this courage and honor, and she has grace, and there's control that's involved in this. Esther 7 and verse 3. "Then Queen Esther answered, 'If I have found favor with you, O king, and it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request.'" So she goes before him, and she shows him honor to start with, and care. So she has that purpose. She shows that grace and that control and that honor, but also that courage that we need as Christians to go before someone that is maybe makes us feel a little less than what we are, and be able to preach and teach the gospel. So she was a queen, is what Esther was. And Esther 2:17, it says, "He put a crown on her head and he made her queen." That's in Esther 2:17. The next one is going to be Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before he came to her, he was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Mary was the mother of Jesus. This is something that it just bum-fuzzling to me. We can never understand what she went through as a mother to raise up a child and then have to watch him suffer the death that he went through to save sinful people. You can see it to save maybe great people or good people, but to save sinful people, she had to do this. We see obedience, love, honor, grace, trust, and faith in Mary. You already read that. You know that Mary, I put her down classified as a housewife, a mother. And that's in Matthew 1:18. You can see that. Our next one is Jonah. So Jonah, and we'll be in Jonah chapter 4, verse 9 and 11 in this one. So Jonah was a godly man. He understood God's will. He understood God's purpose. But God told him one day to go to the city of Nineveh and to preach to the Ninevites, which was in the Assyrian capital, was what it was. And Jonah hated the Assyrians, and he didn't want to do what God had told him to do. God commanded him to go do it, but he didn't want to go do it, and he ran from him. He tried to get away because he knew that God was a loving and caring God, and that he would protect them and he would save them, and he didn't want them to be saved, so he took off and he ran. You can't run from God, we find out, because Jonah says, hey man, these waves are getting bad. Throw me out. Throw me out of the boat and your lives will be spared. We don't want to do that because we know you're a godly man. So they didn't want to do it. But finally they did, and they pleaded with God. They said, please don't hold this against us that we throwed one of your people out. He was swallowed by a fish. He was there for 3 days. Spit back out on the land. Then he goes and he preaches God's word. It saved about 120,000 people the day that he did that. Get this, you people that have had children, that have little kids sitting beside you and you see them pouting and stuff, this is what Jonah does after he saves these lives. He goes and pouts because he's so upset that their lives were spared. That's how much he hated them and didn't want them to be spared. So God shows him this little thing, and he talks to him, and he shows him this vine, and he says, this is what you're going to have here, Jonah. This look at this and understand this. Jonah 4 in verse 9. But God said to Jonah, do you have the right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? We look at this and we learn that you can't hide from God, first of all. And God cares about others as well as us. There's other people that God cares about also. Most of all, excuses and hatred can be overcome with God's help. Jonah, I classify him as a preacher. It says Jonah 1:9, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, is what he says. Our next one is Paul. Paul, and we're going to be in Acts again. We're going to be in Acts in, where am I at here? Acts 9, verse 3. Acts 9 and verse 3. Bear with me just 1 minute there. Acts 9 and verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Skip down to verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after eating and taking some food, he regained his strength. Paul went from hating Christians to being one himself, living a life for Christ, showing us that anyone can change. The worst sinner has the opportunity. They just have to make a choice whether they want to be good or whether they want to be bad. You have that choice. We have this opportunity. It's called heaven and hell. There's two places that you can go in your life, and you got to make that decision. Well, Paul shows us that he made that decision. He shows us how to respond to God's word. He did exactly what God told him, right? Christ said, you go there. He didn't say, I need you to do this. I want you to. He said, you go there. And that's what he did. He sent him, and he said, immediately he got up and he was baptized. That's exactly what he was supposed to do. So he shows us how to respond to God's word and how to act upon God's word. So we see faith, courage, love, respect, honor, loyalty, truth, obedience. They're all a big part of God, of Paul's life. So where does that leave us at? Where are we at? How can I make a difference? The topic was, can I make a difference? So now where does that leave us at, as in, how can I make a difference now? Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. So if you commit to the Lord, that's putting your eyes on Jesus. That means you're focusing on Jesus is what you're doing. So you're reading the scripture, you're understanding the scripture, and you're following the scripture. We're going to skip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. I think that's correct. Yes. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You have to be ready. The only way you can do it is if you read and you study and you follow God's word. So you have to be ready. And verse 16 tells us right there that scripture is useful. It's good for you to read. So we need to take time out of our days and we need to read. Next thing we have is John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Hey, if you love me, Jesus says, you will obey my commands. You know, we fall short on that sometimes. But that's telling us that we have something important in our lives. And we need to follow that to the best of our ability. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Spread the word, guys. Spread the word. That's important. Who told us that? Russell didn't tell you that. I can assure you that that came from Jesus Christ. He told us that, not me. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. I love this scripture because I like to build things and I like to make things that stand up and they last. I don't want to see anybody else have to redo what I do. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Fell with a great crash, he said. So, putting God's word into practice is important for us. We have the foundation to put God's word into practice, don't we? It's right there. That's what he said. You build upon the foundation. Well, who's our foundation? That's going to be Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. So if we build upon Jesus, what he's taught us and what he tells us to do, then we're able to put the word into practice for certain. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Being Christ-like helps others. Can you guys see that? Have you ever thought of yourself as helping someone else by being a good Christian person? Watching others want to be like you, follow you in what you do? It happens. He tells us right here that it takes place. Let's go back to Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. There it is. I apologize for that. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Love and good deeds are a big part of being a Christian. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So, meeting together, working together, being closer to one another, that's going to help us to be a better Christian so that we're able to help someone else on the outside. Colossians is our next one. Colossians 1 in verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray in this order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance, patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of our sins. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, all of that equals spreading the word. You're able to do that through knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You understand that Christ died for us. He teaches us this. He says that. You have this forgiveness of these sins, but you also have this wisdom and this understanding. So Paul says, I pray for this reason. Since that day we heard about you, we haven't stopped praying for you. He's talking about all of us so that we can continue on in this. Let's go back to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. What? Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Patience is not a big deal for Russell. I struggle with patience bad. I'm getting better and better every day. But it takes that praying to God, and He tells us what to do right here. He says, preach the word. But if He tells us this in season and out, be ready. That means all the time. You can't preach the word if you don't know the word, correct? Titus is our next one. Titus 2:15. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. So He tells us here, He says, encourage and rebuke. So with authority. So it's you got to know what you're talking about before you can help someone else. You need to know it. 1 Corinthians. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll be in verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, you honor God with your body. You have to show respect to God. So showing respect to God would be to help others, because we've been taught that already. We're supposed to help others. We have to help ourselves first. That's first. So you have God to look forward to. You have to put God first in your life. Then you come next, and then everything else comes after that. So you show respect and you show honor to God. We're going to stay in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to move over to chapter 15 in verse 58. Give yourself fully to the Lord. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So if we know that our work of being a Christian is not in vain, why would we change and walk away from it? Why do we leave it? Why do we doubt it? Why do we have fear? We shouldn't, because we have that right there for us. So give yourself fully to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. God didn't have to do this. That was a gift for us, to give us Jesus Christ. That was a gift that he gave us. We have instructions not to live an impure life, but to live a godly life. That's our instructions. These are things that we want. That this is what Russell wants to be like some of our fellow Christians who were persecuted for Christ's word. These are words that were used quite a bit today. Honor, respect, truth, grace, love, obedience, mercy, understanding, control, courage, loyalty, and faith. And if you put all those together and you draw this little slanted angle, let me make it this way so it looks right. My hand was backwards. That equals Christ is what that equals. Everything that I just said, that equals Christ. So to make a difference today, tomorrow, the next day, we have to become more Christ-like, acquiring these qualities, not just a little, but in abundance for ourselves. James 1 in verse 22, he said, don't just listen to the word, but do what it says. Don't just hear it, but grasp it, understand it, absorb it, take it in, and distribute it out. That's what we're told to do right there. So, you look back, and I told y'all all what these people were that I mentioned here. I mentioned eight of them for us. So, you had a farmer, a rancher, a fisherman, preacher, tent maker. I forgot to tell y'all that Paul was a tent maker. I'm sorry about that. That was the last one. Paul was a tent maker, and you can find that in Acts 18, verse 3. And it's because he was a tent maker. That's how you see that. So we have all these different people that come from different backgrounds. They're different in all kinds of different ways, just like we're different. We have all kinds of different qualities that we have. So the one thing that you can see that managed to push them a little further on was that they did what God commanded. Every one of them. Even Jonah. He didn't want to, but God said, do it. And then he scolds him a little more. He did it, and things were better. So, if you look back at all those examples, not only did they hear God's command, but they followed it. God was with them to help them overcome any fears, doubts, trials, struggles that they had. We have the same help. Christ, Jesus Christ, he died for you and me and everyone else in the world. Not just us, everyone else in the world also. So so that we could be washed clean of our sins. That's why he told the disciples in Matthew 28 and 18, going to verse 20, to spread the word, baptizing believers into Christ Jesus. He's not only our Savior, but he's our mentor, our mediator, he's our Father, he's our friend. Today, commit to the Lord and your plans will succeed. That was Proverbs 16 and verse 3. We started our lesson with Proverbs, how can I make a difference, 16 verse 3, and we ended it with the same thing. So, if you need anything, if you don't know Jesus the way that you think you might want to, if you would like to get closer to him, if you just need prayers, thoughts, anything at all, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.